You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, there are people who speak for a living. And then there are those whose presence speaks before they even open their mouth. Lulu Hangala Wood is the kind of woman who doesn't just light up a room, she shifts the atmosphere. With over two decades in the media industry, she has become a voice, a force, and a blueprint for excellence. She's not just one of the most recognized media personalities on the continent, she's one of the most respected. But what makes her unforgettable isn't just her success, it's her substance. It's her ability to move between vulnerability and power, her ease in being those polished and being both polished and real. A media queen who has mastered the art of storytelling, entrepreneurship, impact, and womanhood, all while keeping her heart intact. Today, we're not just in conversation with the guest. We are sitting at the feet of a masterclass. And if you've ever wanted to break into media, make your mark in business, or simply learn how to carry both your calling and your crown with grace, Lulu is that lesson. Lulu, hello!
Oh, wow. What an introduction.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you. And I normally, you know what I do, right? Because I have an idea of what I want to speak to my guests about. I normally just go into these conversations and I forget that some people don't have background. They don't know who I'm speaking to. They don't know what's going on. And so I'm not going to make that mistake, not with you. And so I know that your journey began at a very young age, singing with your father and later working various jobs to support your education. How did these early experiences shape your perspective on the media industry and entrepreneurship?
You know, starting out with my father and literally my family in ministry, singing on stage in church, really, I learned a lot about storytelling, rhythm, and just the power of presence. I learned from an early age also just the responsibility of being known. It was something that my parents really drummed into me. Yes, you're known because you're singing and it's cool that everyone knows you, but that comes with a responsibility. And I guess later, just juggling jobs to support my education taught me just to be more confident, you know, have self-belief, have perseverance. It also just gave me a heart for impact, and that shows up in everything that I do, from media to entrepreneurship and to being a mom. Or your wife.
Oh man, and I can't wait to hear about all those roles, but let's go down. Let's go down the history book properly. Now, transitioning from roles behind the scenes to becoming a prominent media personality is no small feat. What were some pivotal moments or decisions that propelled your career forward?
I think one of the first things was hosting my first national show. And it was a show that was focusing on children's talent. It just reminded me of myself, my story, where I'd come from, what singing from a young age gave our family, the opportunities that came because of that talent. So it really just taught me also that showing up was my superpower. Showing up is my authentic self.
I love that.
Yeah, because it was a new platform. People were not used to the type of presenting that I was doing. And it was really a risk for a very conservative media environment at the time. But I think that was really a turning point because showing up as my authentic self really propelled my career.
You know, Lulu, I often, and I must confess, I often get so confused when people talk about showing up as your authentic self. And maybe it's because it's something I don't struggle with, right? I mean, if you listen to this business show and other business show and other business shows, it's like, what are we doing here? But I just can't get into any space and be something that I am not. And I know that for some people it's difficult. Where do you think the problem lies? How do people, or what is it that makes people decide that maybe let me show up as somebody else and not themselves? What is the problem? Is it confidence? Is it something else?
Sometimes, especially in my context, mm-hmm. I come from a very conservative background. Yeah. Zambia can be quite conservative. Mm. Even the Adventist Church in Zambia is one of the most conservative yeah. I've ever experienced. So because of the culture, sometimes it's not because you're not a confident person, but you're respectful to the norm.
Yeah.
And so you are scared to go against the grain by being your authentic self.
That
because
makes
you
sense.
Feel it's not going to be accepted. Mm. If I package my message the way people are used to, this will be better for them.
Yeah.
So then you show up as the person you feel people want to see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. That's so interesting, because earlier you spoke about the fact that showing up as yourself and using your talents opened up so many opportunities for you and your family. Now, I'm curious to know, what are some of those opportunities? And I'm asking this because I really want to jot some confidence into somebody who is thinking, sitting there thinking, there's no value in me showing up authentically and owning my talents. So maybe please just entice them with what it is that you saw unfold in your life when you decided, this is my talent, I'm going to own it, this is me, and I'm going to be it.
I was a 6-year-old, and Dad would insist that we go onto this TV show,
yeah.
a radio show, to sing.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, when you looked at where we came from, the class in society where we came from, we shouldn't have been confident enough to walk into a TV station and ask to sing on a program.
Yeah.
But I learned this from my mom and dad, saying we've got this talent, we've got this ministry, and we are going to show up.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether we're the poorest in the room, we will show up. And because we showed up, the president of the Republic of Zambia at the time, President Kenneth Kaunda, watched us on TV.
Oh, my.
And one weekend, we ended up in State House.
What?
The doors that, just that music.
Oh, man.
Opened. My parents later on went to university. And that music, which we recorded on a cassette as a 6-year-old, through just people seeing the talent and supporting us financially to record the cassette, helped my parents survive, you know, being self-sponsored at some spot, some time, and helped me also get opportunities and get into rooms we should not have been in based on where we came from.
Oh, I love that so much. It makes me want to hear you sing. Is there a video out there? Or do you want to do it now?
No. I haven't sung in a long time.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Your career took you so many places. Now, you know, the thing with being authentic and showing up as who you are often opens you up to public scrutiny, right? Mm. And you've been very candid about your personal challenges, especially during your pregnancy. If you don't mind just telling us about that and how you navigated those personal trials while maintaining your professional responsibilities, because the show must go on.
Yeah, that was a very interesting but very pivotal moment for me.
Okay.
I think it taught me a lot of empathy and also to lean on faith, family, a bit of therapy, and also just allowed me to be fully human. And for the first time, allowed me to just be fully authentic with my story.
Yeah.
Even while showing up professionally.
Yeah.
At that time in Zambia, there was not a big celebrity culture.
Okay.
But for
how long
some
ago was
reason,
this, Lulu? How long ago was this?
17 years ago.
Okay.
And I remember my boss at the time at the TV station I worked saying, Lulu, you are introducing something new into the Zambian media space.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of attention on your pregnancy.
Yeah.
This is unusual, especially for the conservative country we're in.
What were you doing, Lulu? What is this thing that you were doing that was making people uncomfortable?
I don't know. I guess, again, showing up as my authentic self on my TV shows made me get attention, both negative and positive. People would write in newspapers about this crazy girl on TV who just doesn't respect, you know, the culture. She's very loud and jumping around.
Oh,
and
my.
So it got a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
So when I fell pregnant, it seemed the attention continued. People were very fascinated.
Mm.
Is she a teenager or is she really older?
Yes.
She's still working on TV. You know, I had to be taken off TV.
No.
Because also my boss said, listen, there's too much backlash about you being on TV and being pregnant and being associated with kids' shows. A lot of parents are sending lots of nasty letters. But I also realized, okay, well, this is now very public. I'm going to publicly talk about this story.
Ooh,
this child,
okay, brave girl.
They will get to know this child.
Mm-hmm.
So a TV station wants to talk to me, I'll take the interview. A magazine wants me to tell my story, I'll proudly talk about where I felt I went wrong in this situation, but how I'm moving forward with it. So it really deepened my voice as a storyteller and just gave me a platform just to have more soul, I can say.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot imagine you're having this, and I want to say sacred experience, right? Because the idea of a human being growing inside another human being, it does not get more sacred than that. You're having the sacred experience. You're doing this thing you're brilliant at that you absolutely love. And the world is saying, get off our faces. We don't want to see you. We don't want to hear your story. We don't want nothing to do with you. And what happened then when you did take the interviews, when you did go on the magazines, wasn't it worse then?
It wasn't. I think there was also an element of shock at the fact that I didn't hide away.
You rebel, you.
So again, I guess the thread continues of showing up as your authentic self and that people will finally get you, but they will always be critics.
Yeah.
But I look at the bright side all the time to see how, well, most of the people are now coming to understand me, coming to understand my story. Coming to understand that I am not scared or shy to say where I feel I've gone wrong, how I feel I can do better going forward, and the lesson that is there for the next young person who comes behind.
You know what? I there's one thing I don't like. I don't like listening to conversations and still feeling like there are things that could have been said and weren't asked. And so I'm not going to move away from this point yet or the story yet and leave my listeners like, oh, okay, but what is the story? What happened? What are those reflections? Please gift us with the story and all the lessons that you drew. Maybe not all, because we don't have all nights, but some of the key lessons that you extracted from that experience.
One of the biggest things for me was starting what I called the We Keep Moving initiative at the time.
I'd just love to hear about that. Yeah.
I realized there was so much power in telling our stories for the next young person.
Yeah.
I was the most conservative Adventist pastor's child.
Oh, Lucy.
When I got pregnant. And it shook me. I got pregnant the first time.
Ooh.
And I'm very open about this because for some reason, no one ever talked to me about it. And I grew up in the church. I grew up on missions.
That is so interesting. How old were you, Lucy?
I was 24.
Sorry, Lulu. And nobody, 24 years of your life, nobody had spoken to you about it.
We didn't really have sexual reproductive health conversations.
Yeah.
it just seemed like we would know better.
You read the Bible, don't you? You're a pastor's kid, aren't you?
Yeah, pastor's child. You've grown up at all the missions you can think of in Africa. From I had been to Solusi, Rusango, Kenya. I was at Barrington. Then I ended up at Helderberg in Somerset West, and all Adventist institutions. And there was this assumption at the time, things are better now, that you would just know better.
Yeah.
And so I realized I needed to start talking to a young man, a young woman, not just in the church, but also in high schools, to say, I have been knocked down, but I didn't stay down.
Yeah.
It's become a space, the We Keep Moving initiative has become a space over the years to remind people that even a pause or the pain should not stop you from moving forward. And I've managed to get so many incredible people that normally would not, children in schools would not have access to, or an entrepreneur would not have access to, but using my influence, I've brought people who've got incredible stories to share their stories, whether it's to high schools, universities, or to entrepreneurs, to women, to men. The platform has grown, and it was all born out of that experience. So first it was a sermon to myself.
Yes.
I used it as a hashtag. And I said, Lou, you will believe in this, and you hashtag every post, We Keep Moving. To speak to yourself first. And then it became an initiative that spoke to others.
It's interesting that you said, to start off with, you said you will believe in this. Was a time where you didn't believe that you can keep moving?
No. But listen, God was, he brought angels into my life. He's given me an angelic support system.
Yeah.
I had the best church also.
Oh, wow.
Who did not leave my side through that experience. Wow. You know, there's certain churches I would visit, and one woman came and said, I think I had my daughter already. She says, I don't like how you're making single motherhood cool. Maybe you should stay away. But my home church, not once did they make me feel that way.
They visited
me during my pregnancy, which was a hard pregnancy.
Yeah.
They held my hand. My mom and her friends made me read books. They prayed over me.
Yeah.
So keeping on moving doesn't mean you'll do it alone.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It really is about, you know, the community that God gives you to help lift you through the process.
And it's all in the name, right? We Keep Moving. It's not I Keep Moving. Because what normally happens when we have those downfalls and when we make huge mistakes that turn to be public is we want to isolate. You should have known better. And now because you should have known better, you'll navigate this better than better than what you did. And so I love that it's We Keep Moving, emphasizing the community, that we don't have to do it alone. What are some amazing stories that you have, that you've encountered from the work you do in We Keep Moving?
Today, actually, I met a young woman. I was hosting a public forum in agriculture today.
Yeah.
And a young woman came to me and said, I'm here today because you came to my school and spoke about us just following our true passions.
Lulu.
And you brought some people to my school that led me into the space I'm in now.
Yeah.
And I'm just about to graduate. Aww. And for some reason, God worked it that I sat next to her, and she only talked to me later at the end of the event and introduced herself and just said, I'm so happy I'm here.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to meet you.
Yeah.
I'm a student. She told me her story. And I went on stage. I was really emotional because it just means so much to me that These We Keep Moving initiative dates we had with these high schools, we continue to have with different people, continue to impact their lives positively. It's always beautiful to hear these stories. Mm. We've moved into community work. Mm. You know, the Wood Kitchen is impacting lives with our community mobile kitchen.
Yeah.
And we are using our cooking as a space to create a good environment for conversations that are difficult to have.
Yeah.
So, for example, our community struggles with early child marriages, even though we live 5 kilometers from the city, literally.
Mm.
But in the farms where we are, we noticed lots of child marriages.
Yeah.
But we were trying to figure out how to tackle it. And we realized to call them for a free cooking class and have these conversations.
Mm.
Have this conversation with the boys' soccer team. These are the boys that are marrying the young girls.
Mm.
The farm worker boys are marrying the young girls. Have conversations. And it's been interesting to see a shift.
Yeah.
So those are some of the powerful stories for us that show us there's so much impact in what started as such a small initiative and continues to grow into the broader powerful tool to make change.
Yeah. And I really want us to now talk about you and diversifying ventures, right? So just being somebody who's so multifaceted, because we're talking about We Keep Moving, but you mentioned the Wood Kitchen. I know at some point there was AfriShop. You ventured into various entrepreneurial endeavors. How do you identify these opportunities? And what is it that drives your passion for these diverse projects?
I feel like the shortest way I could explain this is my ventures really reflect my passions.
Oh.
Somehow God has truly just made it work that way.
Yeah.
So food, digital innovation, community. I look at problems and I want to serve. I want to see how I can fix this. So I got into television in Zambia after graduating in Cape Town, where I had an offer to stay. An agency wanted to take me on to do television. They felt I had what it takes. But I had come to Zambia for my internship and I saw the gap.
Yeah.
There was something missing.
What did you study in Cape Town?
A business communications.
Okay. Okay.
But with the focus on the communications.
Perfect.
And media. And so I saw a gap in the market and I wanted to come and fill that gap. I felt people deserved happy TV, edutainment TV, or just edutainment media.
Yeah.
So I've always been passionate creative, and that's what led me into the Zambian media space. When I look at AfriShop, it answered a digital problem. People love fashion in Zambia. There's lots of fashion entrepreneurs, but they were having a difficulty connecting to manufacturers in China.
Ah.
I had met a friend over 5 years. She's Chinese. We had had various discussions. And she saw the opportunity first, actually, and said, Lulu, we've always talked about the issues that your friends have when buying stuff in China.
Yeah.
I think we can be the solution.
Mm.
So we had talked about this problem and we were able to fill that digital gap. And the Wood Kitchen has been about, you know, storytelling through food and connecting and creating community, creating a culture shift. I'm passionate about, you know, happy families. I'm passionate about seeing more Zambians see themselves in the media, see families like theirs in the media. We watch a lot of South African TV, but our culture is so different from South Africa.
Yeah.
But we were modeling our families to what we were watching on TV. They always say it's so important to see a reflection of yourself in the media.
Oh, for sure. Representation is everything.
And that's what the Wood Kitchen started out as.
Mm.
We are going to be a representation of a Zambian family in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Let people have a glimpse of what a Zambian family can look like, what a meal can look like.
Yeah.
Is it going to look like just, you know, pap, or we call it in Shima here, and vegetables? Or is it going to look like fusion? Because there's a growing middle class with more disposable income.
Yeah.
And they are curious about new cuisines. But when they go online, there's no local person telling them where to source these ingredients, how to do this. So passion really fuels it. And strategy is what sustains it. I am very strategic.
Oh, man. You know, you're reminding me of a lesson that I taught in one of our segments, Scripture and Sense, on Tuesday. And I was sharing the story, or it's not a story, but it's a principle from the way God made the Garden of Eden, right? When you read, it says that there was one river that flowed through Eden, and that one river split into four streams. And I was saying, if you really look at it, you will find that whatever venture, whatever stream you are attracted to or inclined to comes from this one source, this one river. And some people call it purpose, others call it passion, others call it their inclination. But to hear you talk about We Keep Moving, about the wood kitchen, about the Afri shop, really, to me, brings that imagery of the one source, which is your desire and your craving to serve, and you seeing the multiple ways that you can serve, whether it's through the movement or the digital media or through the kitchen. There's just really so much you can do from this one thing that God has put you on this earth to do. And a lot of people, when they think about purpose, they think, oh no, it's going to box me into this one thing that I'll have to do forever, not realizing that it's the thing that unleashes you, because it's the thing you were designed to do. And so there's so many things you can do with that design, and you are proof and testament of that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
This wood, I want to talk about this wood, and I want to connect it to the 24-year-old who falls pregnant out of wedlock, who is young and now has a change of surname, and I can imagine a change of life. Do you want to talk to us about that salt and pepper gray beard that we see on your social media?
Oh, my blessing. Oh, my blessing.
Yeah.
My miracle, really. I never saw that relationship coming. I never saw this marriage coming. Yeah. Honestly, it came at a point where I had given up and said, you know what, God, it's all right. I'll stay single.
It's fine. Maybe it's not fine. My lot in life.
Like, I am not, this is not working. I've kissed too many frogs. I am done.
How old were you when you
keep moving?
How old were you when you said that? Because I know when girlies get into their 30s, it's like, Lord, it's either it's going to happen and I should keep hoping, or I should just give up, because hope also hurts.
29. You hit it on the head.
Oh my gosh.
That's the right age there.
Yeah.
I was 29 and I just thought it's not working.
Yeah.
I will give my daughter and I the best life. We started traveling together.
Yep.
We were just living, you know, finally it seemed financially things were looking, you know, brighter.
Yeah.
But William and I literally met through our family members.
Okay.
His family member met one of my family members who were having a discussion about me, and she thought, wow, that sounds like a girl my nephew would like.
Oh, those are the best people.
They were complaining about me.
Those are the best people, those connectors.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And she said, I think that character would work well with my nephew because he cannot be with a typically traditional Zambian girl.
Oh,
and that craziness you guys are talking about, I think he would thrive in that scenario.
Yeah.
And we went on a blind date like an Indian couple.
Not an Indian couple, child.
All our Indian friends tell us William and I are literally living like Indians.
Oh,
I have always lived
goodness.
Like Indians.
Yeah.
But we did end up moving into the farm next door to his parents later. When
okay. You're not beating the stereotype.
Thank you. And I still live just 800 meters from them now after we've moved into our own fields. But yeah, William and I just clicked. It was really God ordained.
Yeah.
Two souls that I don't think would have connected in any other way. We just both don't see us having a connection.
Yeah.
beyond the type of connection God gave us.
Yeah.
In terms of how we met.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as we have continued to grow in our relationship, in our marriage, God continues to show us why we were meant for each other. Mm. The first years were, you know, pretty shaky.
Of course.
We were so different, very different backgrounds, similar values, but at the time it didn't seem that way.
Mm.
But we were totally in love. We were the best of friends.
Yeah.
But we had been long distance, and I can't tell you how blessed I feel every day that God chose us to be together. Mm. And just, he was the right person. He is the right person for me.
Yeah.
He never stifled my growth. He never dimmed my light. Mm. I didn't do that for him. And that is rare, I think, especially for women that are a bit too strong or perceived to be too strong.
Mm-hmm.
Finding a partner that doesn't feel the need to put you down or to cut you down to size.
Yeah.
The only thing he ever did was lift me up.
Oh, man.
His question is always, so what do you want to do next? Because you're the dreamer. You're the crazy risk taker. And having that is not usually the norm. Because we are brought up to believe the risk taker should be your husband.
Yes.
And so there's some norms that we have sort of skewed around. And I feel so blessed that we can make it work, and there's mutual respect continuously for what we do and for how we both support each other's dreams and how God has ordained that now we actually do business together and how that has brought us so much closer. With its challenges, of course.
Oh, yeah, because I've heard working with your partner, working with your spouse is not the easiest thing.
No. But it really does teach you about each other at another level.
Yeah.
When you're married and you work in different places, you never get to see their work personality. You're just hearing tidbits as they get home.
Before you continue, Lulu, before you continue, you know what you're saying to me is actually lighting something, right? In that, a lot of people who end up cheating on their spouses cheat with people who see them at work, with people who work with them. And it's probably because of what you're saying, right? You see this, oh, lovey-dovey, but you don't see the other side of your partner. That is probably attractive, which is why the other person was attracted to them and ended up falling in love. Okay, continue. Sorry, I just had to interrupt you there.
That is such a truth. That is such a truth. I've actually never thought about it. Yeah. But yes, that is such a truth, because that's what I discovered. I felt like I discovered a whole new me.
Wow.
He felt the same way too. But it takes time, because married Lulu wife is very submissive, very work Lulu is very aggressive.
Oh, this is my bag.
Like, I am maybe too aggressive. He never used to experience Lulu saying, babe, it's 3 a.m. but I've got an idea. Wake up, let me tell you about it.
Yeah.
He never experienced that before, because we didn't work together.
Yeah.
My business partners would.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone on my team would get random 3 a.m. calls or text messages. And the same with him. He's such a professional. He always is continuously teaching me, yes, you want to work every day, all day, but that is not going to work. Mm-hmm. You need a work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
So he brings work-life balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. You said that he was your miracle. And I'm wondering, what parts of you did him and your marriage heal? Because I can imagine, Lulu, you sound like an A-type personality, an overachiever. And for an overachiever at 24 and married to fall pregnant, that shifts your identity, right? It makes you question who you've always thought yourself to be and who you've always known yourself to be. And I don't think you were the same person after the pregnancy that you were before the pregnancy. And mm-hmm. you might not even be aware that you were showing up differently and, you know, thinking things differently. And then comes this man. And I'm just curious about what he affirmed about you, what he healed in you, and how your life changed because somebody said, I love you and I want to make you my wife.
I feel he, Asante's birth, my daughter, and that pregnancy was very pivotal. William coming into life was another very pivotal moment.
Yeah.
Because there still was the aspect of showing up like I had brought my authentic self, but I was still careful. And he brought the element of freedom.
Yeah.
There's people that said later, you've really changed. You're not the person you used to be. And my response to them is, I found someone who told me, pause.
Oh.
I am really getting to see your world, who you are with me, and then who you are when you go out.
Yeah.
I need consistency.
Oh,
be free to just be you. I will love you.
Oh, man.
Still.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Care what anyone else is going to say out there.
Yeah.
But just be you, and I will love you. And that daring side of him really influenced a certain freedom for me. It allowed me to be even more aggressive than I had ever been before. Because he said, it's okay. It's who you are. So even before we worked together, he really brought that sense of just be yourself. I don't care what anybody says. I'm here.
Yeah.
You are valued. Your voice has power. And I love you for that. And I will always be grateful for that because it did change something in me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that so much. I'm looking at the time, Lulu. And you know, I've still got like a whole set of questions I have not even touched on. And maybe I'm going to need to bring you in on one of our entrepreneurship day so we can really unpack your career and I think also just shed some light to those who want to be in the media space, who have aspirations to grow in the space. So I'll speak to my producer if it's okay with you that we bring you on to really talk about the space. And if I'm being completely honest, I think I'm being a bit selfish with that because it's my world as well. I absolutely love it and I want to explore it even further. So if you don't mind. But right now
I will be back.
Perfect. Perfect. You're my girl. Let's talk about your role as a UNAIDS Goodwill Ambassador. Listen, Lulu, and I'm sure you know this, it is a big deal to be appointed as a UNAIDS Goodwill Ambassador. It is such a significant recognition. How has that role influenced your advocacy work, especially concerning youth and women's health? How did you even get appointed? Run us through that entire situation.
So I could not believe it when I got the phone call.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was a scam.
Of course.
But it wasn't. And it was extremely humbling, especially because later when they explained the process that it takes to finally appoint a Goodwill ambassador, that was truly humbling. They sifted through hundreds of names to finally get to my name. And I really felt it as a divine assignment.
Yeah.
I've always said my ministry might not be reciting verses every day and putting up a devotion every day on my page.
Yeah.
But I do feel God has had a special assignment for me since I was born. And I have felt that in my experiences from a very young age. God has always placed me in spaces where I influence.
Yeah.
And this specific assignment really mattered because I have family. who have experienced HIV and AIDS. I have friends. I interact with an audience that also can connect to this. And so I wanted to be able to normalize conversations around just health, dignity, and empowerment, and just want people to feel it's okay for us to talk about this. And initially, I didn't realize how after the announcement, but the number of people that felt comfortable to talk to me about their stories after that just meant so much. And the impact also of finally being able to use my influence for social good, not just at a local level, but be a voice for my country at a global table, really matters. It's something I had prayed for, but not specifically the way it came. I always knew I wanted to use my influence for social good. I studied diplomacy and protocol years before the appointment. And I always told my family, my voice will be used globally somehow. I don't know where, I don't know how, but God will place me on global stages to speak for my country and my continent. And through this ambassador role and just working with the larger UN family, God has continued to place me in these right spaces to speak for my country, to speak from a place of knowledge. God has allowed me to travel across my entire country, learn more about my culture, learn more about women's health and the struggles that adolescent girls are having, and be able then to speak from a place of knowledge. And it really is something that's truly humbling and something that I take as a divine assignment.
Oh, man. Oh, what a dream. Lulu, I've already asked you to come back on the show, so I'm not even stressed about this conversation coming to an end. But I do want to let you know that this was such a sacred exchange. You know, you walked into this space with wisdom, with grace, with truth. And I think you really left the air dripping with gold. I could listen to you over and over again. Your voice informs and it transforms. What a gift. And it's clear that you're not just walking in your purpose. You're helping others rise into theirs too. And it's so beautiful to learn about. Thank you for being a shapeshifter, literally in every sense, for showing us what it looks like to build a platform without losing your soul, for letting us see the woman behind the mic, and you're going to come tell us about this mic another time, but also for reminding us that your story told well can be someone else's survival guide. I celebrate you. I honor you. And I know that people will be replaying this particular conversation over and over again. And because I have your number now, I will be in your pocket like, girl, what's good? How's it going? Oh, this was such an amazing conversation.
Thank you for having me. This means so much to me.
Lulu, I want to jump on the We Move Forward hashtag. And I want you to speak right now to We Keep Moving hashtag. And I want you to speak to somebody who is currently so downtrodden by life. They thought that they'd be at a certain stage in this point of their lives, and things have just taken a sharp turn. When they look left, their friends are prospering. When they look right, they see what could have been had they made different decisions. What do you have to say to a person who needs to hear from you about what the future could look like and what they should be doing next?
You know, some people say it's so easy to say we keep moving, but it's so hard.
Of course, you're on the other side.
I am, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I just want to make clear. It's not always going to be easy.
Yeah.
But it does get better. Lean on God. Stay committed. stay passionate.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm going to speak from an entrepreneur perspective, because entrepreneurs might be listening to this, but yeah. I only saw financial, you know, wins very late in my career.
Mm.
I chose a career that was, did not allow you to see the wins. So you're going through all these challenges and you feel like you're being hit down left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And financially, what you're doing is not making any sense at all.
Mm.
It's not being respected.
Mm.
People are not understanding what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
But that self-belief, that staying teachable and continuously refining my craft to get to where I was truly helped.
Mm.
And you need to have a strong self-belief. You need to center God in your life and truly believe, not just say, but truly believe that he's leading you.
Yeah.
The hashtags I love to use are We Keep Moving and Let God Lead.
Let God lead.
So I will close with that.
Yeah.
Let God lead.
Yeah.
And letting God lead does not mean he will lead you through a glass path that will be beautiful.
Oh.
He will lead you. You might come out with deep scars.
Oh, no.
But they will be a win.
Oh.
Let God lead.
You know what I love about what you're saying is reminding me of the book of, well, it's in Exodus, where Moses says, if your presence is not with us, we're not going anywhere. So he acknowledged that movement is necessary, but he said, I'm not doing it without you. And so to everyone who's listening, Lulu is saying to you, yes, keep moving, but let God lead the way. Oh, you're such a gem. I can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much
for
coming through.
Thank you for having me.
How do we follow you? How can people soak in all of your wisdom and all of your goodness beyond this conversation?
So please follow me on Instagram, Lulu Hangala Wood, also Wood Kitchen Z or Z.
Mm-hmm.
Also follow me on Twitter and Facebook, Lulu Hangala Wood and The Wood Kitchen. We have a closed group on Facebook. So mm-hmm. if you're really passionate about food, that closed group is for you.
Mm-hmm.
We have special recipes that we put out in there and such a large, beautiful community that we've been able to build. So please do follow me.
Love it. That is Lulu, everybody, your shapeshifter for this week. God bless you, Lulu. We'll chat very soon.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.